I wish that more people would see themselves as leaders. I wish that when you looked in the mirror, you saw a leader. Now, one of the problems with the idea of leadership, when you think of that word leadership, immediately the average person thinks, oh, the pastor, John, Gary, Dale, or a Sunday school teacher, or the president, or the principal of the school, right, the mayor. When you think of leaders, your mind goes to people who are elected or who are overseeing a department or whatever. I wish that I could help you change the way you think about this word, leadership. I wish that when you looked in the mirror, you saw a leader. That's what I wish. Because leadership really is different than what most people want to immediately define it as. Leadership is influence. If I could think of one word that describes leadership, it's influence. Now, the whole word, the concept of leadership implies what? Somebody's following. If you're not leading, if no one's following, you're just taking a walk, right? So leadership is about influence. It's inspiration. It's something about the way you live, something about what you believe and stand for, something about the way you behave, something about your values. Inspires other people, and they join you. That's leadership. Somewhere along the line, certain leaders got people all over the world to drink Coke. You can go anywhere in the world, and people are drinking Coke. I hate Coke. That's how I clean my battery terminals. It's true. If you pour Coke on if your battery terminals are corroded, pour Coke on them, and it'll take care of things. But it's true. You can look at a lot of different companies that are world famous, and they have had leaders who have influenced and created a following. Now, one of the problems with the idea of leadership is we don't see the significance of small acts of leadership. Small acts of influence. We don't realize that small acts of influence or inspiration or leadership are much more important than huge, presidential kinds of leadership moments. How many of you are grandparents? Do you realize how powerful your influence will be on this child, good or bad? Do you realize the potential that's there for your life to affect their life? So how many of you are parents? How many of you know that you're never done parenting? It doesn't matter how old your kids get, you're never done parenting. And no one else is their parent. And so your leadership, your influence, the way you live, what you value can inspire people. You might be here, you might be a boss, you might be a head of sales, you might be the head teller at a bank, you might be a supervisor on a nursing staff, you might be a principal, you might be a teacher, I don't know, maybe you're a mechanic in a dealership and you've been there for a while, so there are people that look to you and they want to know kind of how to do certain things because they haven't been there very long. Do you realize you have the potential to be a great leader? So that's one of my things on my wish list. I wish that you would see yourself as a leader. Now, I also wish that you would understand the dynamics of leadership. There is a way to lead that will assure that you can continue to lead. There's a way to lead that will assure that your leadership will grow, that your followership will grow. Jesus taught us a lot about leadership, and the Apostle Paul teaches us a lot about leadership. The truth is that we're going to spend the next many weeks talking about this subject and how it is that we as people can maximize the potential of our leadership. But the first thing that I need you to acknowledge when you look in the mirror is to say, there's a leader. I'm a leader. Rather than to think, a lot of times when someone says, okay, are you a leader? The average person says, no, but so-and-so is. We just don't see ourselves in that light. And I need you to see yourself in that light. And I also need you to think about how to behave when you are in this position of leadership. Now, Jesus teaches us a great lesson about leadership in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 45. That passage is in your sermon insert, the sermon note page. Mark chapter 10, 35 to 45. And there is a kind of a crazy thing that happens. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come over to Jesus and they say, hey, teacher, we'd like you to do us a favor. And Jesus says, sure. What's your request? And they said, well, when you sit on your glorious throne someday, we want to sit in the places of honor next to you, one on the right and the other on the left. And Jesus says, wow, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized in the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized? And he said, oh yes, we are. We're able to do that. And then Jesus said, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he's chosen. And then he says this. Actually, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. And that means they were mad. They should have been. They're thinking, who's James and John that they would get that privilege? And so Jesus uses this moment to teach. And so verse 42 says this. So Jesus called them together and he said, and listen, please, listen, this is powerful. You know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. It must be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. Two key words that you write down, please. Servant and slave. That's what Jesus said. If you want to be great, you need to be a servant. If you want to be great, you need to be a slave. And then he says this, and this is where he ends. He says, for even the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Leadership lesson from Jesus. Leadership is influence, and how you exercise this influence means everything about whether you will continue or not. But the first thing I want us to understand is this. You don't need a title in order to be a leader. Say that with me. I don't need a title in order to be a leader. If you want to influence people, love them unconditionally and serve their needs. That's how to be a great leader. That's how to influence people. Love them unconditionally and serve their needs. True leaders have a servant's heart. Look at Francis Chan. What's he say? Read it with me. God's definition of what matters is pretty straightforward. Read it with me. He measures our lives by how we love. Jesus said, love one another. This is my new commandment that I give you. Everyone will know you're my disciples if you love one another. And so leadership is about serving people. Be compassionate. Care for people in a practical way. Help them improve in some aspect of their life. People will follow a leader with a heart faster than they will follow a title. Rewind. People will follow a leader with a heart faster than a leader with a title. Maybe you have a title. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you lead your department. Maybe you are a principal. Maybe you're the head teller at a bank. Maybe you're a shift supervisor. I don't know what you are. Maybe you're over many people. So you have the title. Here's what I plead with you then. If you have the title, then have a heart. Love the people you lead. Serve the people you lead. Be a servant. Be a shepherd. That's what Jesus calls us to be. These are earthy terms. These are hands in the soil terms. Jesus says to James and John, who, you know, they want, James and John want the Lombardi trophy. They want all the confetti flying around them. But they don't want the July and August sweat. They don't want to watch any film. They don't want to get in the trenches. They don't want to go through all the difficult things that it takes to build a championship. They just want the seats. And Jesus says, forget about the seats. This isn't about the seats. I'm not even in charge of the seats. Who sits where? This is about whether you really understand how to get to the heart of others and how to lead others. People don't really want to follow a title, although in certain circumstances they have to, because if they want to keep their job, that's what they have to do. But people will gladly follow a leader, even gladly follow a title, because that individual serves them, loves them, cares about them, and isn't interested so much in being the center of attention. You don't need a title in order to be a leader. If you want to influence people, love them unconditionally and serve their needs. Now, sometimes it's a good idea to get a sense of what leadership is not. And I found a great video, and I want to just ask you to pay attention just for a few minutes. Watch this video. It's pretty powerful.
You know, leadership is an interesting word, and frequently I get asked, what's the definition of leadership? And there's a lot of little things that go along with leadership. But what I rarely get asked is, what is leadership not? And ultimately, leadership is not pushing. A lot of times we confuse leadership with telling people what to do, pushing them to an end result of some kind. Ultimately, you become pushers and not leaders at that point. So what leadership is not is pushing an individual to a place to get some kind of result. But what leadership is about influencing people in a way to bring them to an end. And one of the ways that we talk about leadership and how to go to a next level is really about how you amplify, multiply, and even qualify your leadership. To amplify really means to take on more. What is it that you're currently doing in the space that you're working right now that you could take on more? How can you expand your reach in what you're doing? A lot of times we get into a role and we stay very niched into that role. How can I move just a little bit bigger and broaden what I do on a daily basis? From a talent standpoint, we talk about this frequently. If I get stuck in a role too long, I limit my ability to really become a next level leader. So what am I doing to expand my reach in other areas to really amplify what I'm doing and the scope of what I'm doing? And then to multiply really goes back to this idea of mentoring. Who am I mentoring in my life? Who do I have as mentors in my life? And this really helps me multiply what I'm able to do, because now I'm protecting against blind spots in my life. Now I'm taking in additional wisdom and I'm able to be even more effective as a leader. And then qualify really is, what do I not know that I need to be more grounded in? This really gets back to this simple idea of, I need to know what I know, because confidence comes from conviction. And that conviction leads to courage, and that courage is what can drive us on an ongoing basis. So what is it that I need to know more about? Where am I just on a surface from a knowledge, and where do I really need to go from knowledge to true understanding? And that's what it ultimately means to get to the next level leader.
So one thing we know, leadership is not pushing people. It's not bullying people. I can't make anyone do anything, but I can live in such a way that inspires people to want to follow me. That's true for you, wherever you are in life. That's true as a parent. That's even true in marriage. It's certainly true in your work. Whether or not you are the boss, it doesn't matter. Whether or not you are the head of your department, it doesn't matter. You can live in such a way that your integrity, the way you conduct yourself, the way you work at your interpersonal skills, the way that you are attentive to detail, the way that you handle customers, all of that has the power to inspire others and ultimately will drive you and promote you, figuratively or literally, to where your influence will grow. And your ability to motivate then people spiritually will be powerful. And that's where I want to kind of land and focus on for quite some time now, because I'm going to be looking at Paul's letter to Philemon, Paul's letter to Titus, Paul's letters to Timothy, and we're going to talk about leadership. And you will be amazed at how many qualities, principles, aspects of this subject of leadership come out in those particular letters. Generally speaking, leadership is, what did I say? Influence. There needs to be a distinction made about leadership and spiritual leadership. While spiritual leadership involves many of the same principles as general leadership, spiritual leadership has certain distinctive qualities that must be understood and practiced if spiritual leaders are to be successful. But let me give you a short definition of spiritual leadership. Spiritual leadership is inspiring people to adopt God's agenda. Let me talk about that a second. When a person becomes a Christian, they have to leave their agenda behind about how to be right with God. Generally speaking, that agenda involves their own works and their own righteousness, their own acts, their own behavior. They have to abandon that agenda of human effort and accept or adopt God's agenda of a provision, a sacrifice is provided. Jesus Christ is provided. His blood, his righteousness is offered on the cross, the resurrection. And instead of trusting in my human effort, I trust in his effort, his work on the cross. That's how a person becomes a Christian. Now, as a Christian, I don't automatically stop sinning. I don't automatically become everything God wants me to become. As a Christian, I also must have my own selfish human agenda about how things are going to work and adopt God's agenda. So to be a spiritual leader is to inspire other people to adopt God's agenda, to leave their human selfish agenda and adopt God's agenda. That's true in a salvation sense, in a sense of grace and forgiveness, but it's also true in the aspect of spiritual maturity. And so every Christian, this is back to my wish. What's one thing I wish? I wish every Christian would see themselves as a spiritual leader, understanding they have the capacity to inspire others to leave a human, worldly, selfish agenda and take on the mind of Christ and the life of Christ and become spiritually mature. That's what spiritual leadership is all about. Over the coming months, we're going to talk about a lot of core principles that are involved in this idea of leadership. Next week, we're going to look at the letter of Philemon. It's only 25 verses. You don't say chapter when you say Philemon. You just say a number. It's 1 to 25. It's short, but it's packed full of stuff that every person, I don't care if you're in junior high, college, whether you're 30-something, or whether you're already retired, you have a lot to learn from this short letter Paul wrote to a guy named Philemon. But there are foundational traits of spiritual leaders that are deal breakers. We must do certain things if we're going to be spiritual leaders. And I've listed a few that I think I had to start with. Number one is spiritual leaders depend upon the Holy Spirit. Spiritual leaders understand that they cannot change other people. And that's where spiritual leadership, it works within a paradox. God calls us to do something that in truth we can't do. He asks us to do something that's impossible. Ultimately, spiritual leaders cannot produce change in people. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. How many of you here wish you could change people? You know, some of you are here and you wish you could change a person. You wish that person would pay their bill because they owe you money. You wish you could change your kids. You wish you could change your neighbor. You wish you could change the person that you're linked with in a group as an employee at your company. You wish you weren't in that group. You wish you could change people. You can't change people. I can't change people. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been a pastor for a long time, and it's a hard lesson learned, but you realize that if you really want someone to change, you don't go and get after them. You just talk to Jesus about them. And you pray for people. You can't change people. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So if you're going to be a leader, a spiritual leader, you have to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing. So many times we fail in that area. We do something and then we pray. We have a dream or a vision and then we pray. Now, we have to start every day basically saying, God, without you, I'm going to make a wreck of this day. Holy Spirit, please make me sensitive to whatever you're doing in the lives of people around me and in my life, because I don't want to do this in the flesh. I don't want to do this on my own. Please speak to my heart. And so that's, I begin as a spiritual leader dependent on the inspiration and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we have to go back to that again and again and again. Secondly, the spiritual leaders are Bible-centered. I say that because if you're going to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, then you need to quick run to what the Holy Spirit has written. The Holy Spirit has inspired Scripture. So a spiritual leader is going to be Bible-centered. That's why we're going to spend a block of time studying Philemon, Titus, 1st, 2nd Timothy. In the 9 years that I've been here, I've not preached through those letters. And so I'm going to really dig deep and try to unpack a lot of stuff from those, and I hope you'll join with me. Spiritual leaders are Bible-centered. Why? Because all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful. Useful for what? Useful for teaching, for training, correcting, rebuking, so that the servant of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Scripture is necessary to help people in their life, to help people grow. I picked Acts 20 as another reference just because it's a pretty cool chapter where you have the Apostle Paul basically spends the whole chapter teaching. Teaching what? Teaching Scripture. And that's where the story of Eutychus comes in. Paul's preaching. And Eutychus is sitting in a window. He's a young man. He gets drowsy, falls asleep, and he falls out the window. Paul's preaching like all night. It's right before he leaves. They'll never see him again. Well, Eutychus falls from the window and dies. Can you imagine being a preacher, preaching for so long? Somebody falls asleep, falls down, and dies. He felt very guilty. Paul, read Acts 20. He goes down. He raises Eutychus to life. That's what you call sympathy right there. You die. My sermon killed you. So I'm gonna go put some life back into you, brother. Bible-centered, spirit anointed, spirit led. Third, spiritual leaders work from God's agenda. God's agenda is always about two things: leading others to spiritual maturity and leading others to leadership. If there's no multiplication going on, there's really not a lot of leadership going on. And so that's why sometimes I meet with you and I may say, hey, I think God's ready to do something powerful in you, through you. You know, make a move. Take a step of faith. Be a leader and see what God does. And there's times when that happens, and it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. Spiritual leaders work from God's agenda, leading others to maturity and leading others to lead. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 1. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. That's what Paul prayed. Over and over again, he has the same thing written, only in different ways. And so as you exercise spiritual leadership, you're helping people to learn how God wants them to live. You're also helping them to learn how God wants them to do business or how God wants them to be a student. And you help people avoid potholes. You help people avoid landmines of life. You help people understand the significance of integrity, leading to spiritual maturity and leading to lead. That's God's agenda. And so you're always leading in this regard. Why? Because we're human, we tend to be sinful, and we always need to go back to basics. I need to drop my own agenda and embrace God's agenda. Now, two more things. Spiritual leaders are accountable to God. That's sobering. Paul knew that. Paul realized that he was accountable to God for his ministry. Everything that he did would be weighed. Everything that he did would be evaluated by God himself on Judgment Day. And when you live with that kind of accountability in mind, it guides, it shapes who you are and how you do things. And finally, and we'll go on this one, spiritual leaders can influence all people, not just God's people. God's agenda applies to the marketplace as well as it does the meeting place. This is the meeting place. You've gathered here today to worship. God's agenda applies to this place, but God's agenda also applies to the marketplace. And how you live your life and your job, there's great opportunity for spiritual leadership to happen even at school, at the hospital where you work, the bank where you work, at the dealership or in the mechanic shop and on the road as a salesperson. You have a powerful opportunity to lead, to influence other people the way you live your life. But the first thing you need to do is look in the mirror and say, there's a leader. You have to look in the mirror and say, I am a leader. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the president. It's not just the mayor. It's not just the principal. It's not just the bank executive. It's you. It's grandma. It's grandpa. It's a father. It's a mother. It's a community member. You are called to leadership. I want to share one example before we go here. My brother was in corrections for 27 years. He was in the Navy, and then he worked at a medium security prison for 27 years. He's a guy who lived with an open Bible and an open heart. Almost every time I've ever been around him, there's been an open Bible. He's 7 years older than me. And as long as I can remember, Jim, there's always been an open Bible around him. And that's just the way he lives his life. You know, what you get is what you see. That's the way it was for him at work. Not that it interfered with his work, but everybody knew he was a Christian. He was promoted to as high as he ever wanted to go. He was the shift supervisor of the first day shift. I don't know, maybe 40, 50 people he was over. And he at the end, he just spent his whole day watching television screens. Video surveillance. He would train guards. He would do safety training, all kinds of stuff. But everybody knew he was a Christian. Some people didn't like it. But his passion was three things: be a servant of people, love, care about people, and integrity. Above all things, integrity. During the course of his career, there were some people that tried to get him fired. They didn't like him. They wanted his job. They tried to get him fired. And they would call my brother in, and he would say, hey, just watch the tape. Everything everyone does in this building is on surveillance camera. The tapes don't lie. I will resign right now. He was a man of integrity, and he did his job as a man of integrity. And of course, they'd watch the tapes. They'd throw the case out. The person's lying. They get in trouble because they're trying to get him fired, and he didn't do what they said that he did. But here's what happened over years. Off the record, off the job, so to speak, people would open up to him. They would come to him. Will you pray for me? How do you do this? What is this? What is your faith? Tell me about your faith. I only go to church maybe twice a year, but your faith inspires me. Or I have a problem. I could use someone to talk to. Just over the course of his career, his faith made a big difference. Why? Because he understood the spiritual leadership element of what he did for a living. So here's what Jim understood. He wasn't going to the prison to lead people to Jesus. He was going there to make sure no one gets out. He was going there every day to make sure no one hurt anyone else. That every inmate was where they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be. Now, in the course of doing that, the way he handled himself, the way he was a man of integrity, the way he was a leader, encouraging those under him, it gave him opportunities. That's spiritual leadership. If you met my brother, he would say, I don't ever want to be a pastor. I don't ever want to be on stage. He's never even been a Sunday school teacher, I don't think. He's not that kind of guy. And I use him as an example because some of you are sitting here and you're saying, you know, he's up there talking about leadership. Well, I'm never going to teach Sunday school. I'm never going to be on the leadership team. I'm never going to be the mayor. I'm never even going to be anywhere anyone's looking at me. I like to be out of the spotlight. Well, God bless you. You're the exact person that God needs to see, for you to see yourself as a leader, because there are people in your world, in your situation, wherever you're at, who need you. They don't need me. They need you. And I can't do what God wants you to do. I can only do what God wants me to do. So to begin this series about spiritual leadership, the first thing I want you to say is, God wants me to be a leader. Say it with me. God wants me to be a leader. Doesn't want me to be president. Doesn't want me to be the principal, the bank executive. He just wants me to be a leader right where I'm at, who I am, with what I have. God wants me to have influence. He wants me to have integrity. And ultimately, he wants me to see myself as a servant and as a shepherd. He wants me to love other people.